Amen. Good to be here. We were taking a walk on Saturday, trying to get back out there and doing some exercise. And I told Amy, I said, man, it feels like I have a fire inside of me. I got something to say. I said, I just don't have nowhere to say it right now. The Lord just didn't open the doors. And it wasn't even a few minutes later, Pastor Cassiola called and I said, hey, you know, and it always comes into times where I'm going through something. And I'm not just talking about physical, you know, surgery and all that. That's just one thing I've learned to deal with. I'm not even talking about that. I go through all the physical stuff in the world, but you put me through some spiritual things, and I start having a hard time, right? But, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, I don't want to misquote it. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. In 1 Peter 5:10, it tells us this, and this is where a lot of people get Christianity mixed up. It says this in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into this his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. After, you know, you hear people all the time, well, how can I go through this? Now I'm a Christian. How can I go through these things? Because the Bible says, after you have suffered a while. You see, there's things that God has to put us through to get our attention. And it says this, right. After that you have suffered a while, it'll make you perfect. That means mature. You'll be able to handle those things as they come along. I'm going on 8.5 years of being saved. It's not a whole lot of time, but I can tell you this now. God has matured me a whole lot more in those 8.5 years than I was 8.5 years ago.
Amen.
Why? You think it came just because somebody handed it to me? Mm-hmm. We've been through some suffering. But, you know, a lot of people give up. They don't want to do the suffering. They just want the good times, and they want God to bless them with monies and all that kind of stuff. And they're not willing to go through that suffering. They're not willing to go through that. But, you know, the Bible says if you live for Jesus, you're going to suffer. Right. And here's what it says. Look, here's my favorite part of the entire verse. After it says he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You see, though, that very first word he says, suffer. Okay? A lot of people don't like to hear that word suffering when it comes to Christianity. But the reality is we live in this flesh. The reality is we live in this world. And you know what? God's got to allow us to go through some suffering. And speaking of suffering, turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. We're going to sit there for a few minutes. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. And speaking of suffering, I just lately hear the Lord, just talking to the Lord and praying and stuff. And it just came to my attention that people who are lost today have become comfortable. They're comfortable in their lost state. They'll say, yes, I'm lost and I don't know how to get saved. But they're comfortable and they're living life and they're okay with it. And I remember the time that God brought me to a place where I realized, my goodness, I'm lost. But it became very uncomfortable for me and my wife. I wasn't able to relax in that. And for those years of knowing that I was lost, for those years of sitting underneath that preaching and for sitting underneath that Bible, it was not a comfortable thing for me and my wife to know that we're in that position, and at any moment, if Jesus Christ was to come back, we'd be cast in hell. But today, when people find out and figure out that they're lost, they stay there. They park it right there for decades. It's a long suffering that happens. And I understand sometimes it takes a long time for a person to get saved. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I sit back and I watch people comfortable in that. You're comfortable in that lost state. There should be not a comfort in that lost state. There should be a seeking and a being a diligent and a wanting to get out of that state you're in. Not just put it in neutral and say, well, God's ready, he'll save me. No, that's right. But they become comfortable. And look at here in Daniel. I want to speak on this for a few minutes here. In Daniel chapter 1. I always say it wrong. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. And look what it says here. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. To purpose in his heart. To purpose is a person who has done something intentional. He's resolved. He's made a determination that he's not going to do these things, or he is going to do these things. He's made a decision in his mind and in his heart that no matter what, I'm going to set this course. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he's not going to defile himself with the things of the world. Hey, this can fit for those who are lost, and this can fit for those who are saved. Luke used to ask me all the time, Dad, this and that. I said, Luke, you have to purpose in your heart. What's the most important thing in your life right now? If you're not saved, salvation should be the one and only thing. And I used that before when I was here about a little kid wanting a bike and so on and so forth. And that little kid can't stop thinking about that bike. And I remember being lost. And I listened to Miss Ruth Ann's testimony of how bad she wanted to get saved. I remember being in that. I was not comfortable in my lost state. But until I became to that point in my life where I purposed in my heart that I had made that decision that no matter what, no matter what it took, I'm getting to Jesus. Remember the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? No matter what. She heard of Jesus Christ. It says she believed, and then she left that place. According to Leviticus, she would have been unclean, and everything she touched became unclean. And it says she thronged the crowd. She moved him out of the way because you know what? She heard of this man, Jesus Christ, and she believed. Mm-hmm. She believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment. My friends, we have the hem of his garment right here. This is the hem of Jesus' garment. It's right here. We can come to this. And how many times we hear people say, yes, I'm lost, but I do believe that Bible. Do you know how contradictory that is? To say you're lost, but yet you believe this Bible? You see, belief in this Bible demands an action. Something's going to happen. You either believe this Bible, you believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, or you don't. There's no two ways about it. God is very clear on that. And so as Daniel purposed in his heart, that means he did something intentional. He made a resolve. He made a determination. He made a deliberate choice of action or thought that no matter what the consequence was, no matter what the outcome may be, he determined in his heart not to defile himself. And that word purpose just kind of struck me. And I like doing word studies, so I just kind of was looking through it. It's not in there that many times, 30-some-odd times it's in the Bible. And the first time that we find that word purpose, if you would turn with me to Ruth chapter 2. And I want you to see here, because the Bible's about to define the word for us, okay? The Bible's going to give us exactly what that word purpose means. And so we're going to see here that God, with a little work, with a little studying, that he'll go out there and he'll show you exactly what these things mean. But let's think about the determination in your heart. Where is that determination? Where are you at? Have you purposed in your heart that the only thing that you want is Jesus Christ? Have you purposed that? Is that something that you've made that choice? Because after I'm done here tonight, by the grace of God, you'll be able to determine, have I really purposed in my heart or not? Have I really determined that I was going to seek Jesus Christ, that he was going to be the only thing that I was going to go after, and that I needed him more than anything? And look at here what it says in Ruth chapter 2, verse 16. This is what it says, and it says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her. And so Boaz is quoting from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9, where God told them to purposely drop gleanings of the corn for the poor and the stranger. And that's what he's saying there. It's a purposeful thing. God told them, hey, in Leviticus he said, listen, when you're out there gleaning that harvest, I want you to leave some of that there. I want you to intentionally drop some of that there. I want you to intentionally leave whatever it is that you're taking, whatever it is that you're picking. I want you to determine that you're going to leave that there for when that stranger comes through or when that a poor person comes by that they can have something to eat. And we see here Ruth, and she's in there, and Boaz says, hey, I want you to leave some of that for her. He determined. He made a decision that no matter what, he was going to leave that there for her. He purposed in his heart to leave that there for her to be able to come by and be able to pick that up. Psalm 17, verse 3 says this. He says, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. He intentionally made a decision to say, listen, you listen to my words, you watch my life, and you'll see that I have purpose, that you won't find a transgression. You will not, because I have purpose in my heart that I'm not going to say those things that have defiled myself. I'm not going to think those things. And we learned about that last week or the week before about making the oath in Leviticus chapter 5, that the oath of swearing. And see, what people say today,
They don't take an account for what they say. It just falls out of their mouth. They don't even care what they say. People that no longer watch what comes out of their mouth. You know, that took a long time for me to get that after I got saved. And those things that I used to say out of my mouth to my wife and children, it wouldn't always be perfect. Or excuse me, it wouldn't always be in public. But you know, I had to determine in my heart. I had to come to a purpose in my heart that I was not going to say those things that were going to defile us or transgress against God. Because we can very easily fall into that. And so this decision, the purpose of somebody's heart when they're in the lost state, today, when I look at them, I go, what purpose is this man? What purpose is this woman? What have they determined in their heart? What do they really think that they have done? Paul says this, you have not resisted sin to bloodshed. Yes. We think that we resist and we resist. We haven't resisted that to blood. What do we think that we really have done? Do we really think that we have purposed something? And so when I watch people with their salvation, or watch people who are new Christians, or watch people who have been Christians for years, I go, what is that purpose in that person's heart? That person has not purpose to separate themselves from the world. That perfect person has not purpose in their heart. Now, you know, when you purpose something in your heart, that means you, no matter what happens, no matter what that consequence is, no matter what comes down that road, you are not going to do what you purposed in your heart. Acts chapter 11, verse 21 through 24. This is speaking of Barnabas, who determined to live a godly life. And it says this, and it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And look what it says here, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all. You see, he didn't go out there and encourage them. He exhorted them. It was something that was going to last longer than just a temporary fix. He exhorted them. And look what it says here. And it says that they exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You see, then when he walked in there, Brother Tim, He didn't have to walk up to them and say, look what they're doing. No, he noticed it. He noticed that purpose in their heart. He noticed that they were going to cleave unto the Lord. He noticed that they were going to do something. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it goes through that list and it says, add all these things. And if these things abound in you, that means when people look at you, they know what you're doing. They see the purpose in your life. They see that what you're doing. This man here told me he's seeking God, but boy, I tell you, I'd have a hard time believing somebody like that is seeking God. This man here says he's not going to do this anymore, or he's not going to say that anymore. And then you look at him and go, boy, I would have a hard time with seeing that. You see, when things abound in our life, when we purpose in our heart to do things, people will notice. Actions speak louder than words. What actions do we have where people are looking at us and saying, what's going on there? What is this person really? What is the motive behind what they're doing? Daniel had a motive. And I'm going to tell you the motive of Daniel here in a minute. But he had a motive for that purpose. And I'm telling you tonight, we all in this room need to have a motive for our purpose. For those things that we determine in our heart, those things that we intentionally decide that we're going to do, that no matter what, this is what we're going to do. This is mine, right?
Hope so.
Yeah, if not, hey, I don't mind sharing. All of a sudden, I don't know what it is, the last few days, physically I've been hurting. Physically, I'm taking on all this water. I don't know what's going on. My eyes all busted open, but it's making me real tired. I'm real tired, so you just pray for me. Having a hard time concentrating. I'm tired. I couldn't keep my eyes open all day in church. Since this last surgery, it really has taken a toll on me.
Preach, bro. Just preach.
But listen, the purpose, my purpose is to be here tonight.
Amen.
I determined in my heart, no matter what, if I could keep my eyes open or what, I was coming here tonight. I knew that I needed to be here. I knew that Friday when me and my wife were walking and then you called Saturday. That God has something. And we're purposing in our heart. Look what it says here. It says that with all purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. And Brother Tim said that perfectly the other day. That God seen this and God penned it down for us to be able to read that. Because you know why? God noticed. God noticed what was going on with those people. God noticed what was going on with him. God noticed that he was full of the Holy Ghost. God noticed, and they wrote that down here. Why? Because he had purpose in his heart that he was going to live a life that people would be able to see Jesus Christ. Amen. That is so important. It's such a lost thing today. Because all of a sudden, everybody today wants to go and they want to put their eyes on a man. And they want to keep their eyes on a man. And what a man has to say. And what a man has to teach. And so on. Listen, man, it's not about what the man has to say. It's about what this Bible has to say. And if a man is saying something and it don't line up with that Bible, I'm just telling you right now, purpose in your heart not to listen.
That's right.
Purpose in your heart, because listen, we're going to get led astray. And Daniel knew that. That's why he wouldn't take anything from the king. Listen to me. He wouldn't take anything from the world. He purposed in his heart that he's not going to defile himself with food. Why? Because it came from the king. It came from part of the world and he didn't want to be defiled with it. Could you imagine today? People were there defiling themselves with and calling themselves a Christian. Mm-hmm. It may look harmless. It may not look like it's doing anything. But you know, they have a purpose in their heart to live for Jesus Christ. They have purpose in their heart to live for self.
Mm-hmm.
We see Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the pleasures and the things of this world. Why? Daniel chapter 1 verses 16 through 20 tells us this. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. And as for the four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them it was found none like Daniel and Hananiah and Misael. I can never say that word, and Azariah. And I just want you to know, when you're reading the book of Daniel, when the world is talking, they will use the world's name that they gave them. When the Holy Ghost of God is talking, they'll use their Jewish name.
Amen. That's right.
Just want you to know that.
Amen.
The world might try to put our name on us, but that name means nothing if God doesn't recognize
it.
If God doesn't recognize who we are in him, forget about it. God recognized who they were. Why? Because they chose, they purpose in their heart, they're not going to defile themselves with the king's stuff. Look what it says here. Therefore stood they before the king and all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in this realm. Why? In other words, they wanted the things of God more than they wanted the things of the world.
Amen.
Daniel purposed in his heart, Pastor John, that the things of God were more important than the things of this world. He was willing to go ahead and give those all up. He was willing to go ahead and say, I'm not going to defile myself with that. It's food and drink. But to him, he knew that it might come in between him and God, and therefore he wasn't doing it. What's in our life tonight that we say that we purpose in our heart, but yet we still defile ourselves with the things of the world? Remember, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. The very appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. People, it doesn't, listen, our conscience don't work like it used to. Because I'm going to say this, if somebody thinks that I'm doing something and it's evil to them, and they come on and say, brother, I don't agree with that, you're doing that. You know what I'm going to say? If it's evil to you, then I'm just not going to do it anymore. I've done it. Me and my wife have done it. Me and my family have changed things because somebody looked at me and said, I don't think a Christian should be doing that. Fine, it's over with. It was nothing. You know why? Because I'd rather have that influence on a person. I'd rather have that influence where they can see Jesus Christ and see that I'm not attached to the things of this world. Now, we need the things of the world. We need the monies and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you this, God has sure taught me and my family to move away from that stuff.
He's allowed us to go through some hard times financially and physically and emotionally and all that. And I thank God for it because, listen, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for that. And I'm not anywhere. I go to Black Creek Baptist Church. I live in a trailer. Two cars that broke down. My body's a wreck. But I have more today than I ever had in my entire life.
Amen.
Ever in my entire life. That's what I try to tell people, man. There's more than what you think to this Christian life.
That's right.
In other words, they wanted the things of God more than the things of this world. The lasting things they wanted. The ways of God were more important than the temporal pleasures of the world. You have to determine in your hearts, my friend, that the world has nothing to offer. You know what? Jesus Christ delivered me from the world.
Amen.
Not to go back into the world. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier in Timothy. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Why? So don't get back yourself entangled back into those things. God took me from them, not for me to go back in them. You know, the children of Israel, you know, God delivers them out of Egypt. You know what? Anytime some kind of hard trouble came, guess where they wanted to go back?
That's right.
Yeah, how many times, Amy, when we were them young Christians, not even, you know, 4, 5, 6 months old, and hard times would come, guess where we wanted to run back when we were comfortable? Those men that I work with in jail and prison, they know there's bondage. Brother, they know that they're going to die. They know that their friends are out there dying. But yet, they're willing to go back out there to that. I work with a man, and God, I love him to death. And I mean, I love him with my heart. And I wish you could just put a probe in there and see what I feel about this man. And just wish he's 22 years old, and he's walking around today, healing in jail with 9 bullets inside of him. 22 years old. I watched another man here, pastor knows who I'm talking about, who was doing so much meth. He was 19 or 20 years old at the time, doing so much meth that he walked out of the skin off his feet. You really think that I'm more worried about the things of this world than I am those men? If God didn't take and remove those things out of my life, you know what? I would be more concerned about that. And I'm learning. I'm a babe. I'm still learning. I'm not even out of diapers yet in this Christian thing. But boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it. When God brings men to me like that, and I watch the tears in their eyes, and it breaks my heart, and I just look them in their eyes and say, you know what? I love you, but there's one who loves you a whole lot more than me. And he's got something for you if you'll just purpose in your heart. If you'll just come and let him change your life. And they'll come out there and they'll show me all these pictures of all these women and fistfuls of hundreds. Big chains, Lamborghinis, doors that are kicked up and they're sitting in there with all the ladies. Can you give me a better life than that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they asked me.
Yeah.
Got to convince them, right? Got to let them know that, yes, Jesus Christ can give you a whole lot more than that. Because you know what? You're looking at the temporal things. Hey, by the way, how's those 9 bullets feeling in you for that?
Right.
How is it that life support, you were on life support for a month and a half. How's that working for you? Because you got to have that car, that woman? Woo, all right, cool.
Hey.
For the temporal things of selling those drugs, to be able to have that. I looked at him and I said, let me just tell you this. If you were to close your eyes, you would have been in hell. If you would have died, you would have been in hell. I said, then what would that have been worth to you? You know what? We've become very close.
Amen.
Only by the grace of God can I ever, I need to get back in that jail as soon as I can. I just can't push it. I told the Lord, I said, I'm ready to go back next week. And I just believe the Lord is not letting me go back next week. Though I want to. I would love to go back. I just don't believe he wants me to go back right now. But look at the things of God became more important than the things of Daniel. Up to Daniel. The Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Ready? Choosing. That means he purposed in his heart rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose. That means he purposed in his heart. He said, you know what? I could be called Pharaoh's son. I could have all the riches of Egypt. But I choose to suffer the affliction with my brothers than to go out there and have that pleasure for a season. You know what? We're losing Christians, supposed Christians, by the dozen. Why? Because the pleasures of this world have overtaken them. They haven't purposed in their heart. They sit in church pews week after week after week after week. And you know what? Anything that comes up, they offer them out of the world, and they jump on it. But you tell them, hey, we got an extra service at church tonight. I don't know if we can go to church. We just went yesterday. I remember when we first got saved, just traveling down to Georgia just to hear people preach. Yeah, we just traveled to go. I'm still in love with it like that. I still travel around. If Tim said, hey, man, you know, we're going to have a service. Why don't you come down here and wherever? I'd be like, hey, we're out of here. Pack it up. We're going. Let's go hear some preaching. I want my life to change. I love being around the men of God. I love being around the people of God. This is my life. It's not something that I'm stuck in, and because I purposed in my heart. And I told Pastor, I said, the night I got saved, I said, me and my family will never miss church again. And with all God's hope and mercy, I will never miss church again as long as I can help it.
Amen.
I don't get up in the morning and go, well, I guess I got to go to church. I guess I got to put this tie on. I got to drag it. You got the Bibles, guys? Come on. No, man, I'm up happy. Come on, guys, time to get up. The kids are like, oh, man. I'm like, get up. We're going to church. Let's go. Get saved today, maybe. Today might be the day you get saved. And if you're not sitting in church, then what? You got a purpose in your heart that Jesus Christ is more important than anything on this planet.
Amen.
Is it hard? Of course it is. But you know what? It's worth every bit of it. Moses purposed in his heart that no matter what the cost. Could you imagine being Moses and looking and saying, I'm not going to be called that. Mr. Ruthann, could you imagine people today who have that money saying, you know, I'm going to give up everything and I'm going to go walk with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yep. I'm going to purpose in my heart to go and suffer with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm. Could you imagine people today purposing that in their heart? Could you imagine if people today sitting in Baptist churches purposed in their heart to look at their lost state and really get saved? Mm. Could you imagine what it would be like to have those people that are sitting in church pews really want to get saved? Could you imagine, because I don't remember who talked about it earlier about childbirth, I think it was Pastor. Talked about how childbirth is very painful and sometimes it's long and drawn out. I mean, the women, ladies, they really go through it. But then afterwards, man, the joy is there. And I just said, my goodness, that's people. They don't want to go through that pain of salvation. They're not willing to purpose in their heart to go through those things. And those who do, blame God because they're not saved. You know how many times I hear people blame God because they're not saved? Why hasn't he saved me? Listen, let me just say this. It's not God's fault you're not saved if you're sitting in this room not saved. It's your fault. God's got a problem with you. You shouldn't have a problem with God. You're the one who has the problem in here, not him. He's never changed. He wants to save you. If he didn't, why would he go on that cross then? Just answer me that question. Why would he be on that cross then? Why would we have went there if he didn't want to save you? 4 years we sat in that pew. 4.5 years for my wife sitting in that pew going through that. 4.5 years. You know what happened? October 10th, 2011, that joy came. That pain went away. That pain went away. That childbirth went away. Those pains of childbirth, those pains of being born again, they went away. And joy has taken over. And man, has God not flipped my life upside down? I mean, I look at my wife still to this day and I say, Amy, can you believe what God has done? Just look at us. Just look at what he's done. I said, my goodness, how could you ever want to not have that? Purpose in your heart here tonight, my friends, that you want what God has to offer. Purpose in your heart tonight to not want those temporal things. purpose in your heart tonight that no matter what it takes, you're going to get to Jesus Christ, like that woman with the issue of blood. No matter what it takes, you're going to get to Jesus Christ. Purpose in your heart. And God will do something. Either that or he's a liar. Which one is it? Which one do you believe? You either believe he's telling you the truth or you believe he's a liar. Which one is it? Does he or does he not want to save you? You have to make that choice. You have to purpose in your heart that God, he died for me, though I don't understand it. Maybe I don't believe it right now. And I remember one of the best freedoms that ever happened to me is when I finally told God I don't believe like I thought I did. And you know, it's like he wiped the clean slate and said, let's get started. You know what? I didn't run from this. I ran to it. I got more into it. Because I really wanted God to show me what he had to show me about myself. And it was pretty simple, you see. I came to that conclusion that after 4 years of being lost in that pew, that I was the problem. God was not the problem. I was the problem. He had to show me that I was a rebel against him. And when he showed me that, like I've never seen it before, I mean, he showed me that. He just showed me. It was that simple. I said, 4 years? You know what I remember thinking? If I didn't go through it those 4 years, I would have never seen that. I just would have never seen that. But me and my wife purposed in our heart that we wanted Jesus Christ. We wanted to be saved. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1 through 4. It says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. You know what that's saying? That's saying that God is going to bring you through things. He's going to allow you to go through things. Why? Because he's going to bring you to an absolute hatred towards those things that you do. I remember God would not deliver me from certain things until I came to it. All right, I hate it now, Lord. You know what happened? The next day, 2 weeks, a week, something will go by, and guess what? That very thing would come up, and bang, I'd fall right back into him. God said, I told you you weren't. Oh, Dale, I've been searching for 6, 7, 8, 9 months, a year. Listen, you don't hate those things that God's trying to show you, because trust me, if you hated those things, you wouldn't go back to it so lightly. When God brought me out of things and he gave me a hatred. You see, God wants you to hate things like he hates things, mm-hmm. not the way you think you hate things.
Right.
God wants you to hate things the way he hates them. When that thing becomes an abomination to you, then God knows you're ready. But until those things become that abomination, you'll stay. Hey, purpose in your heart to let those things be an abomination to you. And the very next time that you really think that you're over something, watch out. Because God's going to bring it. And he's going to show you once again, I'm not over it.
Right.
I'm not done with it. Purpose in your heart, the next time you'll be done with it. Mm-hmm. Don't just stop. Well, I've tried it. You know, it's not working. Purpose in your heart to do what it takes to get saved if you're not saved. If you're a Christian here, purpose in your heart to live the way God wants you to live. You're missing out. A person must purpose in their heart not to get themselves snared back into the things the Lord has delivered them from. Jonah 2:8 says this. It's one of my favorite things. It says, they that observe, not just to look upon, but observe means to do or comply with, okay? Mm-hmm. You watch a lot of religious people, and they observe religious holidays and times and so on and so forth. And he's saying this, those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When you're not only looking at those things that you say you don't want anymore, when you're looking at them and then you go back to them, God says, you just forsook your own mercy. It's not the fact that you're just looking at these things and say, well, I don't want to smoke a cigarette anymore. Or, you know, I don't want to do that. No. Because the very moment that a person says that, God's going to bring it to them, and guess what? They're back picking up. They're back. God, I promise I won't do this anymore. Here, I'm going to hand this to you, Lord. You go ahead and take that from me, and I'm not going to touch it anymore. I'm not going to look at it anymore. I'm not going to listen to it anymore. And guess what? The next week you look and go, they're doing the same thing they've always done. Why? They forsook their own mercy. Why? Because you listened to the lying vanities. You observed it. You looked at it. Not only did you look at it, listen, Jesus Christ makes it very clear. You don't have to touch things to sin. Says you have, if you have had lust in your heart towards a woman, you've already committed adultery. You can just think something in your head, think those things, and guess what? Boom, you're guilty of it. I told Amy yesterday, I said, my goodness, anything that is not of faith is sin. I said, man, we got to confess sin every single day. You know why? Because we don't walk around with faith like we're some superhero. We lose faith. And that should be one thing to say, you know what, Lord? This thing came up here. I handled it this way. Therefore, I didn't have that faith I should have had. And I'm sorry for that, Lord. There should be something in our life that God's trying to show us. I know this. When I got saved, He didn't just put me on autopilot and I'm going to cruise through it now. God's still changing things in my life. And I thank God He's changing them. Vain things are empty. They're worthless pleasures that cannot sustain. It's an empty pride or a fruitless desire. The Bible says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would that thou were hot, cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Sit there and say we don't have anything in our life. God's not trying to pinpoint anything, but He says, you don't know. You're blind to that. You can't see it. Why? Because you're listening to those vain things, those lying vanities. You're observing them. You're looking at them. You want to touch them. You want to do them. And you can't see your state. God can't get your eyes to be open. Why? It says that the God of this world, small g, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you don't believe, the God of this world has blinded your minds with the things of this world. And God, it says this, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. Should. Doesn't mean it's always gonna. Jesus Christ died for the whole entire world, but does the whole world get saved? No, they have not. Should shine upon them. But it's not shining. Is it because God dimmed that light? Oh, no. Oh, no. We like to cut that off. We like to turn that off. We like to, when God starts showing in Proverbs 20:27, where it says that the candle is a light, it's searching the inward parts of our belly. We like to blow that out. We don't like to see what God is trying to show us. You know, He's not trying to show us the surface things. He's trying to get in there and show us those things that we don't want to look at. Those things we've learned how to put away. Those things we've learned how to get out of our conscience. Those things we've learned how to get away. Because I remember being out there on the street. And for me to be able to do those things that I've done, some things had to happen. First of all, I learned as a little kid how to put those things away. I learned how when the abuse came or the names came or whatever came, those sexual things came to me, I learned how to put those things away. I learned how to hide those things. I didn't want to look at those things. I didn't want to see those things. I would build up walls around them and bricks around them, and I would just mortar them in, and I would just leave them there. That was started searing my conscience. When that conscience got seared, I started losing natural affection towards people. That's why it was easy for me to go out there and do those things that I did to people, and it wouldn't even disturb my conscience. I watched man after man after man being in these jails and prisons, and people ask, how can those people do those things? How can a man that I know that I used to work with sit there and tie another man to a chair and beat him to death? He's lost all natural affection. He's learned how to put that stuff away. As a young child, he was abused. And he would sit there and tell me the stories of those things that happened to him. And he learned how to put them away. He learned how to build them walls up around. He learned how to put them away. And he's trying to cover them up with sex and women and gang and everything else. He tried to put all those things away. And it seared his conscience. And he lost natural affection so much so that he could sit there and participate in beating somebody to death. You know why? He didn't purpose in his heart. He would tell us all the time, I want to get saved. I want Jesus. It's right here. And I look back at it now and go, my goodness, are you kidding me? He's not even built that way. He's not built for what's going to happen to him, Brother Cassiola. He's not built for what he's going to face up there. He's not built that way. But because he learned how to put those things away and cover it up with drugs and alcohol and everything else, because he had to go out there and be that person, because he had to go out there and defile himself with the world, he's going to go out there now, he's going to have to become something that he was never intended to be. I just want you to know this before I close. The man you see standing before you today with all the tattoos was not who I was intended to be. It's a facade I put on. It's a front. It's a covering that I put on. I put on these tattoos because I had to look. I had to look apart. I had to look like something and somebody that was vicious and mean. I had to look like a part out there on the street to be able to survive. But inside, I was just a little child screaming for help. Could somebody come along and please just help me? I would cry in my cell. I would cry out there. Listen, it's a lonely place when you're by yourself and you can be in a crowded room. It's a lonely place. And inside I'm yelling, please, can you help me, please? There's somebody. Could just show me how to get some help. And you know, like that woman with the issue of blood, I went out there and I sought everything under the sun. I went out there and thought, no, this is going to do it for me. This drugs and alcohol, this sexual sin is going to do it for me. I'm going to go ahead and numb myself with these prescription medicines. I'm going to go see the psychiatrist and psychologist, and they're going to help me be able to get over this. You know what? They never helped me get over it. It only made me worse. Right. So I purposed in my heart when I sat under the preaching at Black Creek Baptist Church. And I started hearing the preaching of this King James Bible that I have a man of God say, you know what? Face those things. I remember you telling me that. Some of the best advice that I was ever given was, Dale, I know it's hard and I know it hurts, but you need to face them. You think I regret facing them today? I'm on zero pills. I don't need drugs and alcohol to make me happy. I don't need to go out there fornicating and being involved in drugs. I don't need to look at pictures and touch myself. I don't need any of that stuff. Why? Because I got Jesus Christ. Yes. You know why? Somebody finally told me, face those things. You can't put a pill on a dirty conscience.
Right.
That's what America's trying to do. They're trying to put pills on a dirty conscience. And it will never work. Determine. Purpose in your heart, as Daniel did. Purpose in your heart. And I'm going to close with this. I wrote this down and I said, I don't want to be a Daniel. I want to be a Dale Morey who has purposed in his heart to do the things that God would have me to do. Daniel lived Daniel's life. And now I want God to teach me how to live Dale Morey's life.
Amen.
And I want you to purpose in your heart, whether you're saved or unsaved, to desire what God wants to give you, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. He's got something for you. He's got something a whole lot better than you've ever experienced. You go, well, I don't think that can ever happen for me. And you don't believe in the same God that I believe in.
Amen.
You don't have the same Jesus Christ that I have then. Because the one that I know that's living inside of me, there's not one person that he did not die for. Purpose in your heart to get to him. Purpose in your heart to get saved. Purpose in your heart, Christian, if you've fallen, to get back to where you need to be. Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with the things of this world. Pastor Dan, I'm done. Thank you. I appreciate it.